Content in this episode may contain information and discussions of grief and trauma, childbirth, sexual assault, racial discrimination, pregnancy, violence, or mental health and more, which some listeners could find triggering. This podcast is not intended for young listeners, so please listen responsibly. If you find yourself being triggered or affected by the content of this podcast, please reach out to a mental health professional in your area or call a national hotline for support. Welcome to the Twisted Sisterhood Podcast, hosted by Ashley Mitchell and Kelsey Vandervliet Ranyard, a podcast by birth moms for birth moms to give a platform to a silenced voice in the triad. You can find us on Instagram at Twisted Sisterhood Podcast, on Facebook at Twisted Sisterhood, and Twitter at Birth Mom Podcast. Give us a follow and use our hashtag, There Goes the Sisterhood. And if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. Hi, ladies. Welcome back to the Twisted Sisterhood Podcast. I am your co-host, Kelsey Vandervliet Ranyard, coming to you from Los Angeles, California. And Ashley is here.
Hi, guys. Talking to you here from sunny Utah.
So today we want to talk about a really touchy topic, birth fathers. These are kind of coming.
We just laugh.
It's kind of a topic that I would have been really angry about a couple of years ago, but I think I'm ready to get into it. What about you?
Well, I think you can't have a podcast that is for birth moms without talking about how we got pregnant. Yeah. So you got to talk
about immaculate conception.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I am no Mother Mary. So we definitely need to talk about the elephant in the room.
Yes.
So yeah, we're going to talk about birth fathers, how that's played a role in our adoptions. And then we'll definitely look forward to more discussion about this from you, our Twisted Sisterhood community.
And if I know anything about birth moms, it's when we start talking about birth fathers, I know you all have a lot to say.
So, ooh, this should be
good. You have a recent development in your adoption, whereas Derek has been asking about the birth father. So tell me what that is looking like.
Full disclaimer from me, and I've said this before, I do not view Derek's birth father as like a sperm donor or a baby daddy or whatever. Trust me, I've had plenty of anger around that, but I actually have a lot more respect for him and his role in this as Derek, and maybe that's developed as Derek has gotten older. Our relationship was horrible and toxic, and you can go on my free video library and watch all the stories about it. But personally, because I know a lot of women have a lot of anger, and so however you view that is fine, but just full disclaimer, when I'm talking, I don't feel that way about his, I am plenty angry with him, and we are blocked and have no contact of any kind. But I don't view him as just the sperm donor or whatever, he who shall not be named or whatever.
Voldemort.
Yeah. Just so those listening, when I'm talking about him, I don't actually hold that kind of feeling about him. I feel like that needs to be said because I know that that's different for everybody. But, my son just turned 14. So we just survived birthday week, and I can't not think about, you know, Derek's father in this process and what that, you know, being pregnant and leading up to delivery and all of those things. So it's very complicated, huge backstory, but currently, so just so you have some perspective. So he relinquished his parental rights before Derek was even born. So we both equally came to the table. We were going to have an abortion. It was not him forcing me to have an abortion. We kind of talked about it, and that was kind of our decision. He wired me money. We lived in a different state at that point. So it was very complicated. And you know, people are like, oh my gosh, he just wired you money. And I'm like, it just was what it was.
Right.
You know, I was too far along for the abortion. And so then it was like, oh my gosh, I can either parent or I can place, and I chose adoption. And so when I walked into the agency here in Utah, I was like 7.5 months. I was very far along at that point. And they sent paperwork to him immediately. And they were like, if he is not wanting to parent and he's on board with this, let's get him to relinquish before the pregnancy. So we sent his paperwork to the state that he lived in, and he went to the agency, picked it up, signed it, and then it was done. And so then for those last few months, so I only had, I mean, just to give you some perspective, I sent an official letter through a fax machine. This is 14 years ago, through a fax machine to the family that I had chosen with this baby announcement that I have chosen you and you're going to have a son. This was on March 6th in 2006. Derek was born April 4th. So it was less than a month that they had noticed that they were going to have a baby. So it was all happened very, very quickly. But I picked the family, met the family, and did the hospital all without his dad. He had relinquished. And then from that moment on, I was just kind of in it by myself. I definitely had a lot of, I'm just going to be honest, like, I was a real manipulative, probably borderline abusive bitch to him because I was so angry.
Interesting.
I was so angry at him.
I think a lot of birth moms can say the same.
Yeah. If they would admit it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved him. I was mad at him. I was like, I couldn't hide my pregnancy at this point. I'm nine months. I'm giant, you know, and he's in another state. I honestly don't even know to this day if his parents know that he had a baby with me. And I was like,
isn't that just the most unreal thing to you? How they can just waltz through life without anyone knowing.
So I really was like, I'm over here in hell. My whole family is in turmoil. Everything publicly, I'm dealing with shame. I had to leave my job, like all of these things. And I'm like, he's just over there in another state and no one knows anything that's going on. He's just like living his life like everything's totally normal. And I am in hell. And I was pissed about that.
Yeah.
More than just being mad at him, I was like, this is so unfair. Mm-hmm. This is cruel and unfair. And so I used to threaten him all the time. I'm going to tell your mom. I'm going to tattle on you because I was so mad. And I know he was so terrified of that. And I knew that so I abused him with that and used that all. I threatened him all the time. And I wrote like this, you know, 3-page front and back letter to his mom telling him all this shit. And I carried that letter with me like every day. Like, and if we got in a fight, I'm like, I'm going to put this in the mail right now. And I really think that at that time, I really was trying to convince myself that like, if he would just be with me and we would get married and have this baby, that everything would be fine. And
can looking you imagine?
Back, oh my God, no, looking back now, I want to bitch slap myself. Cause I'm like, Ashley, that wouldn't have lasted. You would have been miserable. Mm-hmm. And it would have been miserable for him too. I absolutely know that that's not what was supposed to happen for us. But at the time, that's all I would just be like, if you would just step up and take responsibility, then we would be fine. And I look back now and I'm like, oh man, you are embarrassing. Like, I am embarrassed for you, Ashley. But I was so angry that because I really believed in my head that he was fine and he wasn't having to deal with anything. And I was the one that was carrying all the burden. Mm-hmm. I don't actually believe that now. I think that it happened to him too. I think that men and women process this kind of stuff very differently. Yeah. And it's not his fault that I'm the one that physically carries the consequence of our actions and he doesn't. Like, it's not his fault that I was the one that had to get big and fat and pregnant and he didn't.
Like, it's not just like you pushed a button after having sex.
It's not like,
and this is going to be her time.
It's not like we flipped a coin. We didn't flip a coin and said, which one's going to be pregnant. So I've definitely, and a lot of that changed after I had children of my own, a lot of that perspective. But during that time, that's how I felt. So he had no contact. So for that first couple of months, I was still hanging on to him. I would text him pictures when I got an update. So he saw pictures very early on when Derek was first born.
Did he respond?
Yes. We were still talking to, he came back about 6 months later.
Okay.
And was like, that son of a bitch. He came back and he was like, I love you. I want to have a family with you. And I was like, we just gave our family away. What the hell are you talking about?
Oh.
So I was crushed. I was crushed because I was very in love with him. God, he was so hot. They're always so hot. The worst men for you are always so hot. So he kind of came back after Derek was gone and was just like, we kind of tried to like restart things. And I was just like, there's way too much water under the whatever. I can't do this.
Yeah.
But I carried that relationship with me for a long time into other relationships that actually ruined mm-hmm. a lot of other relationships, because there was a connection when you create a child yeah. with somebody and give birth to a baby right. with somebody. There is a connection that is unlike any other kind of relationship that you have.
Doesn't mean it's a good one, but there's
not that it's
there.
Good, but you are tied to that. There is this string that ties you to this person. Mm-hmm. And my heart is wrecked for those that had just horrific experiences yeah, with how they sure. became pregnant. But you are, there's that tie to that person that you, that's hard to
shake. It's strange and it's very complex.
Yeah. Fast forward, Derek's 14. So he had no relationship, no contact. I've been in this very open relationship with Derek and his family for many years now. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing. And every once in a while, his parents would ask me about Tyson, you know, just giving information about Tyson and his, you know, that's his dad's name and what that looked like and all that kind of stuff. And I would give him things here and there, just what I could remember. And even 14 years ago, I'm kind of going, oh my gosh, that relationship was, for me, with all the crap that happened in the last decade, mm-hmm. literally was like 5 lifetimes ago. Mm-hmm. And so there's things I remember and things that I've completely blocked out just because of everything that happened. But Derek would come and sleep over and he would do something, or he likes seafood, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, your dad loves seafood. That's so gross. Like, you definitely get that from your dad, not from me. Like, little things have started yeah. to come out over the last couple of years as yeah. Derek has come to stay with us, that I'm like noticing more and more mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh. So when he came for the last sleepover, he had a picture. I had a picture of his dad and I when we were dating. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of the only pictures in existence. And I found it and I gave it to his mom. And I said, I found this. I thought you might want to have it. And she turned it over and like dead silence for like 5 minutes, just staring at this picture. And she's like, oh my gosh, I thought Derek looked like you until I saw this picture. And this is the first picture they've ever seen of him. And this is like year 12.
Yeah.
Sees this picture of him for the very first time. Cause everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's totally like you. And I'm like, yeah, no, you don't know his dad. Like, he's totally his dad. Well,
that's the same in my situation. Yeah. He looks just like him. Yeah. There's a lot of me there too, but
yeah,
I see it, but no one else
yeah.
really does.
Yeah. So. And they didn't know him and it's been 12 years. And so she saw this picture and she's like, oh my gosh, this is like, and it like all these connections and light bulbs went off for her. Mm-hmm. And she was like, so I was like, so if you want to take this home and sit down with Derek, like, here's this picture. And she goes, no, I want you to give it to him. And I was like, what do you mean you want me to give it to him? Like, yeah. I'm not giving it to him. And she goes, let's give it to him. And I'm like, no, I relinquished my right to hard parenting. This is your job. Like, yeah. this is not my responsibility.
Yeah.
And so she called him into my office. We were at my house and she said, we'll do it together. And I was like, okay. So his two moms are sitting in this room. He walks in 12 years old. And I just said, so I have something for you. And he was like, okay. And I gave him this picture. And I said, this is a picture of, that I wanted to give you. And I gave it to him and he just stared at it. And it was like, you could see on his face, like there had been gaps in his life that were all of a sudden like complete. And he didn't know anything about him, but he saw that picture and saw his face. And he said, oh my gosh, he goes, this is my birth dad. And I lost my shit. I just started bawling.
Because you knew you just opened a door.
Well, and I was like, I didn't know that I had that picture, but I didn't know how bad he needed that connection. Mm-hmm. And it was like, there was like years of healing just in a photograph. Like I was blown away by how important just him having a picture, because for the first time, because like I said, like people thought we looked like, but for the first time he was looking in a mirror when he looked at his dad
yeah.
and he was like, and he saw his parents together.
Which is weird.
I look at that picture even, and then watching and then looking at our child looking at a picture of his parents together, I was like, this is the craziest thing.
See, I avoided that whole thing because when I was at the hospital and I sent Graham home, I sent him home with a box of stuff And like there was a blanket in there that my mom crocheted, and there was a like a, my favorite book that was marked up with my favorite spots of the book. And then I sent, I put, I don't know, just a couple pictures really of like me as a kid, I think I put there in too, so that they could see, because you know, you don't know the contact if it's going to be lost or how this is going to go. And then I believe I put one picture in, there's only one picture of me and Evan, and I have that picture in there so he can see that, and I don't have to sit there and watch him look at it. I just, here you go. It's trippy though, right?
It was like, wild. 12 years, and he's looking at this picture of his parents together and like happy, and he was just like, I didn't know that it was going to open the kind of doors that it did, but in that moment that was enough for him.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. So then I was like, okay, you guys can leave now. And I'm like, good luck with that, to his mom. I was like, good luck with processing that when you guys get home. Like, see ya.
Take care. Drive safe. Yeah,
bye-bye. Let me know when you make it home. And so fast forward to Christmas, this recent Christmas, 2019, we get together. We meet my family, my kids and John and them, and we meet for a visit. And Derek takes the kids outside and they're running around being crazy. And they said, Derek's obsessed, like borderline obsessed with finding his dad. And I was like, oh shit. Okay, let's back up. In November, I was in a hotel room in Chicago and I got a text message from him, from Derek, from my son. And he said, what's my dad's last name? And I went, oh, and it was a text message. I was like, unseen, unseen,
cutting out.
Unseen. And I was so physically sick. And this is the first time, just like out of the blue, hey, it's Derek, what's my dad's last name? And I was like, fuck. So I sent it to him. Uh-huh. He started asking a couple questions. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I really want to talk to your mom, but I definitely want to answer all your questions. Cause I was like, oh, this is, so he's almost 14, you know, at this point. So I texted her right then in Chicago and I was like, this is happening. You know, how are we feeling about this? And she's like, yeah, he's asking questions. And I was like, okay, here we go. And it's like, I always knew this was going to come, but when actually I was like, oh my gosh, I am not ready for this because we'll get into that in a second. So anyway, fast forward a month later, we're having lunch. It's right before the holidays. He was outside playing with the kids and he just said, yeah, he's obsessed with finding his dad. And she's like, and we're going to do everything we can to help him do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you traitor.
I thought you were on my team.
I thought you were on Team Ashley. How dare you? That was my initial reaction. I know,
it's so weird because
how dumb is that?
When I talk to his parents about Evan, it's hard not to shit talk him. Because I shit talk him to my friends. I mean, I literally never talk about him anymore. It never comes up in conversation. But it's hard because I'm like, okay, don't shit talk him to them. But that's what we used to do when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Because that was when everything was going on. And we used to be like, yeah, that dude sucks. And he's terrible. Because he did suck. So now I'm like, okay, Kelsey, like, we're past that now. Yeah. I just don't say much. Because they'll ask me every time I visit, they are always like, have you heard from him? And I'm like, of course I haven't heard from him. Like, he's gone. He's long gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. I was like, if I hear from him, you'll be the first to know. I don't hear from him. I was almost kind of like annoyed. Like, stop asking me that. I'm never going to hear from him. Yeah, it's hard. Because I don't know how I'm supposed to talk about him to them.
Yeah.
It's a very weird dynamic.
Yeah. So my gut reaction was totally like, you guys are a traitor. Like, I thought you loved me and that this was going well. And how dare you? Mm-hmm. But I really have always, and I've publicly said, like, I have always, if that's ever an opportunity for Derek, because I believe that it's good for Derek to know me and have a relationship with me and have that connection to his biological parent, that includes his dad.
Yeah.
And so, and at the core, I really believe in it. But when it's actually happening, I'm kind of like, oh no, this is not. So New Year's Eve, It's midnight. I send a text to Derek and I'm like, Happy New Year's. And he responds. And I was like, why aren't you in bed? It's like midnight. He's 14 or almost 14. And he's like, Happy New Year's. I love you. You know, and we texted back and forth a little bit. And then just totally casual. It's New Year's. It's 2020. Having this text message, all of a sudden I get a screenshot that's a picture of his dad's profile picture on Facebook. We've been blocked from each other for a very long time. We have not, his dad and I had not had communication since like 2007. So pretty much 13 years. Uh-huh. I have not spoken with maybe 2008. Maybe there was a random, like every year on his birthday for like the first 2 years or something, I would send something to him. And then since like 2008, there's been no contact. So it's been over a decade. He sends me the screenshot of a picture of him. And he's like, is this him? And I was like, are you shitting me right now? I'm like, from November to now, 2 years ago, I gave him that picture. Mm-hmm. And I think that that stirred something in him that opened a door for him to be like, I need to know this. And it was okay at the time. And then it was like, wow, here we are. I responded. I was like, wow. I said, yeah, that's him. And he was still so hot, that bastard. I don't know how men age like that. It just pissed me off. I was like, yeah, that's him. And then, so this is what's, so here I am now. This is my mindset. And this was just in January and I haven't brought it up again. So I'm like terrified. I'm like, do I ask? Mm-hmm. How's the pursuit going? Like, is he just going to send him a random message on Facebook? Like, hey, remember Ashley Mitchell? I'm your kid. Like, what is he? Yeah. Did he do that? Yeah. Oh my God. Did he send that to him? I have no idea. So this was my mindset. First of all, I was pissed that he still looked so good. Second of all, I was like, what is he going to say about me? Like, and I've been pretty good because I haven't talked a lot. Like, if you go back and read any of my posts, I've actually been really respectful again, because I don't think that he's just like sperm donor guy. I've given him a respectful place as like part of Derek's life. And if I love Derek, then I have to respect the fact that he's part of Derek and all of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that he's going to respect me the same way. Mm-hmm. What is he going to say to Derek about me?
Right.
Is he going to say something about me that's going to make Derek question
right
who I am and our relationship? Is Derek going to think that I lied about what Tyson was like, what our relationship was like? So I started spinning like, oh my gosh, what kind of crap is he going to say about me that's going to taint their view of me? Like, I was terrified. And then I was also terrified of like, what if he rejects him? What if he doesn't want to meet him?
That's one of my biggest fears.
And I don't even know if his new wife and kids and family even knows that Derek exists. And so what is that going to look like? And is Derek going to be crushed? And what if they start having an open adoption relationship and do visits? What if he shows up at the same birthday party that I do and I have to see him? Like, I am like spinning. Since January, this is the constant replay in my head. So that's what's happening with me. So why don't you tell us what's going on with you? And then we'll kind of break down like processing all of these things.
I'm about to be in year four.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard from him since before he was born. So I was born in May. February of that year, he texted me. Well, hold on. Let's back up. So when I got pregnant, he was not around. He did not want to be a part of it. My parents were gone for a month and I was at home alone and I was in the throes of morning sickness and just, I was so, so sick.
Mm.
I got fired from my job.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was pregnant, basically. I worked for a friend at a restaurant and she fired me. She told my coworkers it was getting too difficult. I would show up to work, but I would throw up at work. Like, they made me puke in the back alley and not the bathroom. So,
oh my gosh. So terrible. Like, customers couldn't see you or whatever. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was, the whole thing was just terrible. So I got fired. I was home. No one would fucking hire me. So I was home for about a month, just sick all day long, throwing up, literally laying, sleeping in the bathroom with a pillow on the floor so I could wake up and throw up. I was so skinny. I was so, like, I was a twig. there was one day where I could barely walk. I was so like just frail, and I called some of my friends. I was like, can you bring me crackers and Sprite? Cause like we didn't have groceries, so nobody could do it. And one of my friends was like, you need to call Evan. I would 100% go get you what you need and bring it to your house. I would do that for you, but I'm at work. And this is ultimately Evan's responsibility. So Evan needs to do this. He's like, call Evan and make him do it. And I was like, okay. I called Evan and he picked up for once. And I was like, I need you to come to my house. I need you to bring this, this, and this. And he did. He was there in 10 minutes. I don't know how he got it that fast.
Oh my gosh.
He did. Mm-hmm. And I opened the door. He was standing off of the stoop, like very far away from the door. And I was like, what are you doing?
You can't catch it. It's not contagious. Yeah.
He's like, oh, I thought you were going to hit me. I was like, when have I ever hit you? I've never hit you.
I mean, not that it didn't cross our minds.
Yeah, no, completely did. But I never was going to actually hit you. And we also, we were not like boyfriend, girlfriend. Like it was a summer thing.
Okay.
And it was very brief. But I had been friends with him. Like I saw him when I came home from college and stuff, like at parties and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, Derek's dad and I were in, it was very toxic, but we were in a relationship. He was several years younger than me, but we were on the off again, on again, off again season. Yeah. But we had been in a relationship.
Like we were friends on social media, and that was always a thing. So
we didn't have social media 14 years ago.
Right. So we were always
MySpace. We had MySpace.
Yeah. We always like were friends on social media, and like, you know, you catch up with people, but we were not like, he was not my boyfriend. So he sat down and talked with me. I told him I was going to do an adoption still. That was still in my mind. It was still very early in the pregnancy. I was probably like 2 months pregnant, 3 months pregnant. He agreed to come and sign his rights away in November, which was still very early in the pregnancy.
Wow.
But he knew if I decided to parent, he was still on the hook. He came to my house in November. The attorney was there, and it was just the three of us. And he signed.
Because you did a private. Yeah. Did you do a private adoption? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's right. So Kelsey didn't work with an agent. So she wasn't going in with a caseworker. So where I was in Utah, they had also had a agency in Idaho where he lived. And so we were be able to go from agency to agency working with caseworkers, where this would have been different, where Kelsey would have had a lawyer drawing up the paperwork and coming. Mm-hmm. That's why they were like at her house.
Well, and then I remember when he was supposed to sign.
That would be so weird at your house, like it coming was very over. Weird. That is so weird.
It was on my kitchen table.
Oh my gosh. That is so weird to me.
I can put myself back in that scene. Like it's weird. But I remember right before he went to sign, he hesitated and he just sat there and stared at the paper with his, like just stared with the pen in his hand. I had told the attorney, like, he's not interested. Like he doesn't care. That's what he's shown me this whole time.
But that pause.
But he paused, and I'll never forget that. And he, the attorney said, I think Kelsey would really appreciate it if you would sign that, which is like totally coercion.
Totally. What is that?
A little piece of me in my mind, of course, is saying, you don't have to sign that.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. But then he did. The attorney took the papers, went back to Indianapolis. Evan stayed. We talked. And he said, I really want to be a part of this with you. I really want to help you pick a family. And I want to be there for you. I haven't. And I feel terrible. And I want to be there. And I was like, great.
Do you think if the attorney hadn't said that he would have, things would have been, we don't know.
No, I don't think he would have ever stayed.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I don't think he would have ever stayed. I said, they're sending me books. They're sending me profile books. I'll let you know when they get here. And I have a doctor's appointment at the end of this month. This is the day. This is the time. This is the doctor's office. If you'd like to come. He's like, yeah, I totally want to be there. He never showed up.
Okay.
He never showed up. So I knew he wasn't going to be there. He never followed up with me to be like, hey, when is that? Hey, you know, nothing. So then he,
or didn't ask how it went or anything.
No, I didn't hear from him till February. And he sent me this long message. I guess his grandpa had just died, so he was all emotional and grieving. And he texts me this long message, like, I haven't done the right thing. I'm going to change. Like, I'm going to be there. I'm showing up. Like, and I sent him a message back, was just like, fuck you. I was so angry with him because I'm like, it takes your old ass grandpa dying, which is so insensitive. It's so insensitive. Evan, if you're listening, I'm sorry. That's so rude. But it takes that kind of a thing for you to see, like, and I didn't know what he meant by that. What do you mean by you're going to be there? You're going to come back and we're going to have a family, or you're going to be involved in this adoption? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
It was all very vague and very cliche kind of things said. Mm-hmm. And I just basically sent him a long enough message back, but I was like, you haven't been there. Where have you been? I was like, I've done this all by myself. And it's a bit of a pride thing too, to be like, you know,
sure,
I did this by myself and, you know,
yeah,
whatever. But I did, like, I was alone completely. It was tough. And sometimes I think, did I push him away by saying that? But at the same time, if you wanted to be there, you would have.
Yeah, you would have.
He never texted me back. I never heard from him again.
And that was the last time you heard from him?
Mm-hmm.
Like almost 4 years later.
And then I found out a week, he knew when I was due. A week before I was due, he left the state. He moved to Kansas City, and that was it.
Oh my gosh.
Never heard from him again.
Kelsey's son will be 4 in May.
Yes.
And she's married and going to law school and just casually going about her day and go.
And then what happens? Just casually going about my day. We're quarantined still. So I'm just on my phone all day scrolling Facebook, and I come across this familiar face in the New York Times, and it's him. Him and his girlfriend are on this New York Times article. They were interviewed for they're struggling, I guess, in this crisis, this quarantine, this whole coronavirus mayhem, like financially struggling, which all of us are. And I was like, what? Why are you in the New York Times? And I, like, we're all, like, blocked on social media. Like, well, him and I are blocked on social media. So I, like, don't know what's going on in his life. But I was like, this is so weird.
Were you like, wait, double take? Like, are you a stock photo model? Like, what is this picture?
Yeah, I was very confused at first. I was like, is this article about you? Or
are you just a picture?
It was about him. And I was
oh my gosh.
Okay, you work at a carpet store. Okay.
Okay. You're learning all these things.
Like, I don't know. I don't know anything about
you. Oh my gosh, that's already way more than I know about Derek's dad and his life.
All I know about him is from the New York Times. Imagine that. Yeah. It's weird. And I'm just like, okay, all right. Well, blessings to you and your family in this hard time. I don't know what to say.
Was there any tiny, tiny piece of you that said, I want to reach out and say, hey, I saw you in the New York Times? Oh my gosh. Oh, I would have totally thought that.
I was like, okay, moving on. I sent it to like a couple of my friends. I was like,
yeah, I got it. I got a text message.
I was like, well, this was a weird day. But the conversations about it were very brief. And I was like, well, that's weird. Okay. And I was just.
What did you think about how he looked?
Worse. I remember, but not bad. I was kind of like, it is a weird, you do have weird complex feelings when you have a child with someone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, for me, I don't really feel anything because we weren't dating either. Like, we weren't official.
Yeah,
we weren't.
True.
But it is still very bizarre to look at them because you're like, it's just odd.
And you have a son.
Yeah. And they look a lot alike. So
yeah,
just very,
it's the same.
I don't really have the words, I guess, to describe it, but he has a girlfriend. So you're like looking at her like,
and do you know about me?
I don't think that she does, but I don't know. Cause I'm not in his life. I don't know, but he didn't tell his parents. I think he told me that he told one brother. He has two brothers.
Very similar that one you don't brother. Know what, and what so family knows and what doesn't.
He acted like it wasn't happening. So I would be willing to bet that she doesn't know either, but who knows?
So does your son's family, his adoptive family, do they have his contact information? Do they talk? There's no contact.
Mm-mm. Well, and with social media, like, do you think they've snooped? Everyone's like Snoopy.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Snooping is happening.
Stalking.
It has happened. When we placed, like, we filled out this packet of papers that was like, what's your favorite food? What's your favorite color? What color are your eyes? What color is your hair? You know, like, for Graham to have. So I remember when I was pregnant, they told me, they're like, you are so detailed. And because it's me, you were so detailed in your packet. It was like 25 pages, you know, and I filled out very diligently. I'm like, I wanted to give him accurate information. They're like, how would your friends describe you? And I was like, friends, what do we think?
You pulled the audience.
I mean, like, they're like crazy. So they told me, they're like, yeah, we got his packet and it was filled out like casually. Like, what do you think your friends, I hope my friends think I'm cool or something like that. Like, this is going to your child. This is not some random survey. But it was just like kind of carelessly filled out. I mean, maybe it wasn't. Maybe that was his effort.
Yeah. I
thought it was 100%. Just because it doesn't match my effort doesn't mean it wasn't an effort. But that's kind of how it all felt, was just kind of careless. And
so, okay, so let me ask you this. First of all, I want you to express, like, how do you feel about, like, the importance of his role in your son's life? Do you think that's a thing? Do you think it matters? How, I mean, what is your perspective on birth fathers? Is he sperm donor guy? Is he, like, how do you feel about, like, and your son's right to...
Yeah, I think he's important when Graham says so. And I think... But then I don't know. I still think I'm important, even if he said I wasn't, you know? So I don't know. I guess I don't think that he's like a sperm donor. I think that he was, I think there was more to the story for him. And I think there was a lot going on. Kind of a troubled individual, like, at that time. I don't obviously know him now, but I think that he was struggling. He had family in two different states. His parents were split up.
Mm-hmm.
His dad was in Indiana. His mom was in Kansas. His brothers were in Kansas. I think.
And that's where he ended up, right?
Yeah, he went back.
Yeah.
I think there was just a lot up in his head that he didn't know how to spit out. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, too, you don't get to decide who's going to be the pregnant one. So I very much was like claiming the victimhood and everything, which there's a lot that happened that was very unfair and the way I was treated by him. And there was a lot that was just, I didn't decide 100% that fate.
So in a situation like my, and I know, like, who knows what's going to happen for your son, you know, when he's 14, but tell me some of the fears that you have when you think about what that would look like if they ever decided to pursue that relationship.
Yeah, I think there's that common fear of I'm not the center of attention anymore.
Yeah.
I want to be like, that's fine. You are. I'll get this time you've been, but also I've put in the work and I've, I labored, of course, and I always loved him and I always express that love as painful as it has been. And I've gone to the visits and I've been in the deep, dark depression and the just tumultuous grief. And I've done the work. I've worked on myself. I've, you know, there's a feeling that's like, this is unfair. You just get to come in here and enjoy. And but I don't think necessarily that would be the reality either.
Yeah.
And we see how adoption reunions have gone for older adoptees and stuff. And, but I do have a really big fear that he would reject
him,
which would make me angry.
That's so interesting that you brought it up about, like just being able to come in and like waltz in onto the scene and like be like the cool, you know, like the Disneyland dad kind of thing. You hear that term a lot, like in open homes and stuff, but I'm like, and that just got like my mind like spinning again too, like you know, when we had no contact for all these years, like you tested me, like I had to prove my trust. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we could only show up in public places for an hour at a time. And, mm-hmm. you know, we, you know, all these processes, I'm like, it's been 14 years of absence. Like, you better test that dick. Like, you yeah. can't like, yeah. like, please don't just say like, oh my God, I would love to meet you. And then they just meet and then everything's fine. I have watched them. They will do what's best for their son. I 100% yeah, believe that they have Derek's best interests at heart. But I also see him being able to just kind of come in and fill a gap. Mm-hmm. Where before I was like the first, I'm the one that had to like set the groundwork right. for it to even be possible. And now he's going to be able to come in and reap the rewards of that.
Right.
That is like infuriating. That's what that would look like, but.
Another thing that would really bother me is the notion, and I'm sure that this would not be going on, but to think back on our early visits and our early meets when I was pregnant and we'd go to dinner and, you know, get to know each other. There were so many conversations where Evan was the topic. He was the focus. So is there going to be a time where you guys are all sitting around the table
talking about
I'm the topic of yes. conversation and I don't get to hear like what's being said. Like at the same time, like I don't think they would do that. And I think a lot of the fears are valid and a lot of the fears are really just made up shit.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I had done a couple of videos about this and talking about how my feelings about him coming in and invalidating me and my role in Derek's life. And I've had a lot of adoptive parents go, oh my God, this is exactly how adoptive parents feel when birth parents like have this open relationship and being invalidated in, mm-hmm. you know, that they like want this shiny parent over here versus this parent mm-hmm. over here and like mm-hmm. all these things. And I'm like, wow, there's so many parallel mm-hmm. emotions in introducing new mm-hmm. pieces of this triad as the triad gets bigger.
Oh yeah. Cause it's not just three people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. I mean, typically that's what the education, you know, you have mm-hmm. because typically the birth mothers are the ones that are more present. And so you really kind of have adoptive mom, birth mom, adoptee. And it's like, but as you really are realistic about that expanding triad on each side, you know, there's all these fears and insecurities and they're very parallel on all sides of the triad about the fears and, you know, all of the mm-hmm. jealousies and things like that. And I know a lot of, you know, Kelsey and I know a lot of you, our sisterhood that's listening, that are still in relationships with a mm-hmm. biological father or married the birth father. Mm-hmm. And I know I have talked to plenty of women that have been married to the birth father that they have their own level of trauma that mm-hmm. we don't have because we've been able to have separation and closure where they just re-trigger each other all the time.
Yeah.
And where they're on different levels of wanting openness or healing at different times. Mm-hmm. And that brings its own complicated. So then you have these open adoption relationships where the bio parents are married and like it just brings in this whole other dynamic that I'm like I'm thinking like how can I even be in a room with him and you're like and these other women are like try being married to the guy like it's just crazy to think
yeah
about.
It's crazy. Yeah it is crazy.
I think it matters how the birth mothers talk about the fathers.
Yeah, I agree,
because we talk all the time about, you know, the only reason why Derek and I, you know, all those years that they could have said horrific things about me. Mm-hmm. His parents could have said horrific things about me. Mm-hmm. You know, married and divorced within a year of him being born, almost killed someone in a drunk driving accident, all the substance abuse, moved around, sleeping with a bunch of people. I mean, they could have said horrific things about me that would have made Derek go, I don't want to know that woman.
Right.
I don't want a relationship with her. Mm-hmm. And 100% we had a chance because of the way that they talked about me when I was not around.
Right.
What are we doing with the way that we talk about the father mm-hmm. that would paint a picture for our child to say, I don't want to know him.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that is a reality that is not easy to sit with as birth mothers.
We have all this time. We do have many, many years, even though it does go quick. We do have many years to work on ourselves and work on those thoughts in our head and the way that we speak about people like that, that played a big or very small part. I would say for me, like just in these 4 years, I've come a long way in the way that I speak about him. Mm-hmm. And I don't really speak about him. And I think that's part of it. You have to at some point stop speaking about them. Now, there's a lot of women, maybe some listening, that conceived in a very traumatic way.
Mm-hmm.
That's different.
That is different.
It is different. And we don't have that experience to speak on that.
And we definitely don't have the professional license to help process that.
Completely not. But for the situations like ours, you have time when your children are little to figure that out as far as how am I going to be on my best behavior for this?
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot project onto your child. Right. And you cannot put ideas in their head. Don't be immature. He may have made a poor choice or made a choice that has affected you in a very bad way. We're all kind of in that same boat. And I think we have to kind of grow up and put our big girl pants on and be neutral.
Yeah, I agree. And I know that some of you are going, well, you don't know. He was the biggest asshole. Guys, come on.
We do know.
And again, this is excluding those that came through horrific experiences to pregnancy. That's not what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But those that were with a guy, thought you loved him, you got pregnant, even a one night stand kind of situation. This is kind of one of those things that it's just like, you can't convince me that loving your child means that you get to completely disregard a piece of it that played a role in this child's existence. And at some point, your child's going to want to know. They're going to have questions and they're going to want to have a relationship, because I promise you, they're raising a 14-year-old boy, and it's a boy thing too, that they are obsessed with knowing who their dad is.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
boys are drawn to the men in their life. It's going to be a thing.
Right.
It is unavoidable. And no matter how much crap you talk about the father, no matter the seeds that you try and plant in the adopted parent's head, because you think you can convince them to never search, just don't, you don't want to know, don't worry about it. He's not going to be an issue. That child is still going to want to know.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, do you care about the child enough to make sure that that opportunity is on the table or not? It comes down to, I promise you, with every fiber of my being, I have no desire in pursuing this or being a part of this. Right. But I'm a part of it because Derek wants to pursue it.
And it's not about us.
Yeah,
and it's never actually been about us.
No, ever.
And it shouldn't be. And that's it.
Yeah. And so if he asks questions and needs to know his last name and wants me to verify a picture and wants me to answer questions, I show up because that's what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can figure out how in a healthy way to process outside of him, instead of texting him going, are you sure you want to do this? You don't want to do this. But you know, I don't get to do that.
Right.
Even if I want to, I don't get to do that.
You got to be on board.
I would bet to say that there's not one woman listening that hasn't had an asshole that has completely. Kelsey and I weren't, we were plenty hurt by what happened. Yeah.
I had a, just with my personality type too, I struggled hard with the rejection. Like I wasn't good enough and I wasn't mother material or wife material or just anything like that. I wasn't good enough. And so I struggled with that really bad, but it's been something I've worked through.
Mm-hmm.
And so we both have been very extremely hurt by the whole situation with them.
Those realities when, you know, a year later when I get a call from him and his new girlfriend's pregnant and they're parenting, you don't think that rejection of, so it wasn't actually where I had been like, you know, it's actually just this situation and we're too young and this is crazy, when it was actually just me, that he just didn't want to be a parent with me. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all dealt with that in some form or another, and that rejection and that reality that you moved on and had a baby with somebody else. Why couldn't it have been me? I mean, there's all sorts of things that we process, but at the end of the day, we got to be on board for what that looks like. And that means letting go of a lot of pride and a lot of hurt and a lot of wrongdoing and just letting it go. I mean, and really, regardless of my very strong insecurities and worries about it, at the end of the day, if he can have an awesome relationship with his dad and his dad's new family or whoever he's got, and he's got other, you know what, at the end of the day, in the deepest, deepest, deepest dark cave of my heart, I really do want that for him.
Yeah, same. 100%.
My dear friends, thank you for sitting with us and listening to us talk about this. I know this is a really hard topic for a lot of people because there is so much hurt and because there was a baby in that ended up as the result of so much hurt. Mm-hmm. But we would love to hear from you and your thoughts on your child's father and how you're processing that. And if you guys have a relationship, an open adoption relationship that includes the biological father, we'd love to hear from you.
We will be saying on the Instagram, you have to listen to the episode before you comment.
Yes.
You can't comment unless you've listened to the episode. So if you've made it this far, you've listened to the episode, congratulations. Go participate in the conversation.
please share your heart with us. But this is not a baby daddy bash. That's not what this conversation is about. We really want you to come to the table and acknowledge some of the hurt and some of the rejection and some of the fear. But really, at the end of the day, what's going to be best for the children? And we want to know that.
Yep. So come join us and we will see you next time.
Bye.